Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of The Niche by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Everybody to We Shouldn't Be Alive here on the Glass Cannon Network, your home for watching us good friends get together and try out all different kinds of tabletop role-playing games. Of course, on We Shouldn't Be Alive, we play Twilight 2000! My name is Joe O'Brien. I'm your referee for this game. I'm with my good friends Mary Lou Skid, Jared Logan, and Ross Bryant. And Jared Logan, we find ourselves here, good buddy, in the seventh episode of our run. Your thoughts so far on the game of Twilight 2000, the fourth edition as published by Free League. Are you enjoying yourself? Do you like it?
I'm obsessed. I love this game. I knew I was hooked when we played it at the Niche retreat, you know, and
was that the first time you played fourth edition?
Yes.
At the Glass Cannon Network retreat.
And I knew you guys had done a new game, Who Dis? And back then, I think I was so jealous I couldn't play in it, because I just find the whole setting and the difference in gameplay from a lot of other games just super intriguing. It's like a really different experience in a lot of ways. So, and you know, I'm very much into that sort of, I know it's a alternate history, but I'm very much into that whole history, you know, the Soviet Union and when they got aggressive and, you know, the fact that the Cold War could have gone hot a bunch of different times. So that's very much my shit.
Totally.
That's very much my shit. I had an entire conversation at dinner last night with my 9-year-old and 7-year-old about what the Cold War was.
Wow.
And it was really interesting to try to explain it. I'm actually trying to think off the top of my head what brought it up. I was not talking about Twilight. I wasn't like, oh, I got this show tomorrow I got to do. It was like we were talking about Eastern Europe, and I think they were just sort of asking about where
what's their fucking deal?
What's up over there?
Yeah. What's their deal?
Why are they so weird? Well, they had a traumatic event in their childhood.
Uncle Joe, what's the Cold War?
Yeah, what's the Cold War? Unky Joe, what's glasnost?
what is perestroika? I don't understand.
It was funny. I was telling them about, I was like, so it's so funny because I remember my parents doing this to me when I was a kid. I remember them saying were kids, and especially my mom, like the Cuban Missile Crisis and all that stuff when she was a kid in school. Yeah. And I talked last night about how when we were growing up, there was this vibe out there about, you know, they had missiles and their missiles could just be shot at us in any second. We had missiles. We were pointing them at them. They could shoot them at any second. And there was always this kind of tension. And as a kid, you felt like, well, this is going to happen. Like at some point, like any day, you know, this thing is going to happen. Yeah. And we
Sting
had to do
made a song about it. This is inevitable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. they made us do drills in school and stuff, you know, just like they did when our parents were kids and everything like that. And I'm explaining this whole thing, and then I'm like, but then Mikhail Gorbachev, and then da, 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 and I start just kind of explaining how it fizzled out in the late 80s, early 90s, and how these countries then became on their own. Then they started saying, like, well, we hear about Ukraine, and I'm like, oh God. So then we started talking about this a little bit.
And you were like, but today, children, the world might be destroyed in three different ways.
Right, exactly. You have many more and different things to fear.
So much more to worry about.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, after like 10, 15 solid minutes of like doing a very broad explanation of history, my daughter raises her hand and I'm like, yes. She's cracked me up that she raised her hand and she goes, what is a missile? And it was from like 10 minutes before.
That's a great question.
Oh my God.
That's awesome.
You skip the tutorial. That's what happens when you skip the tutorial.
Exactly. That's what happens when you skip ahead too fast. Well,
that reminds me of how, you know, I've introduced my mom to the Naish and to actual play podcasts, and she loves them and she listens all the time.
She's on a critical role now.
I think she might be a purist. I think she's only Naish. We'll see if she branches out. But it's not even stuff that I'm on, like other stuff. She loves Get in the Trunk. She thinks Roger Cumstone is the funniest character ever, which scares me. But
her love of Roger Cumstone frightens me.
All moms really love Cumstone. Does. She's a big mom character.
I don't know. I don't want to think about that too much. But in the beginning, you know, she was listening to The Blood of the Wild and she's like, I love it. I love the characters. I love the, you know, this and that. And then she goes, what do the numbers mean?
Wow.
And I was like, from the mouths of babes, really, truly beautiful.
So your mom, it's a story, but occasionally it just becomes a number station.
Punctuated at intervals by Matt.
Well, if you ever needed a testimonial to the raw and visceral power of your storytelling, that she will listen to a whole episode and be totally bemused by these numbers.
Just every
conversations.
Once in a while, we'll be like 17.
What does it all mean?
What could that possibly mean?
And then another time, somebody says 23, and they're like, "Gah!" And they're mad.
That's what we should do next episode of Blood of the Wild. We should be like, and the zombie attacks you. And then we should just go, 23, 8, 19. You defeated it.
It's like, we'll just play Number Wang and then put the... top of it.
I love that.
Just pure numbers. We'll see how much we're going to dig into numbers-wise today. What I can assure you we will see today is some of this setting that Jared talked about that he loves playing in, and I do as well. This alternate history, war-torn world of the World War III that never was. We're going to come right back in a second, and we'll do a brief recap, and then we're right back in where we left off last episode. Stay with us. We're back in a sec.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search Realms of Peril and Glory to find out more.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine. And now, I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.
Last week on We Shouldn't Be Alive, you all pulled up to a barricaded area blocking the highway that you were on off from going into an exit into a rather large city in Poland called Zamość, with one with a great history that Skid laid out for us with his copy of 1996's Lonely Planet Poland. And, you know, that was another thing. We talked about it earlier, how Jared, how you're into the history of it and how we all are really soaking that up. And so, man, this guide has been awesome as I'm reading it about just getting the history of some of these places. And I kind of want to make that a continuing theme of this show is, as we get into new towns and new areas, is trying to touch on what we do know about the actual history of those places and give you kind of a picture of where your characters are and what it might look like in this alternate history version. But in either case, you parked your car, hid your car outside of this barricade, and then went on foot into the town. You were attacked by these ragged, mad wolves. I mean, it's crazy for wolves to just like attack people in the middle of the day. Obviously, something's very different about this landscape. There's a desperation, a hunger to not only humans, but it's passing on to animals as well. Also, we have no idea exactly how nuclear weapons have affected these regions, right? How radiation sickness is affecting these regions and these people, and even yourselves.
We've seen a little bit of it. We've seen some.
We've seen a little bit, but what those are kind of like extreme cases where it's right in front of your face. There might be more subtle things happening that are not visible or something that you can't see or smell right away, right? But I mean, eats inside of each of you, and we know this from character creation, is a creeping increase of radiation exposure that is slow and steady and is making your body harder to fight sicknesses and illnesses and stuff like that. We haven't seen too much of that, but just, you know, it may be affecting not only humans, but all wildlife as well. So something to keep in mind. Anyway, when you get into the town of Zamość, you have found that the locals have risen up against the Soviet occupiers in that city. They have battled them back into the town hall of that place and have kind of a siege going on because the Soviets have heavy machine guns in that town hall. And it stopped the locals from pushing in any closer. But now the Soviets also can't get out. And so in this siege, you all decided to lay low for a little while. Dr. J.F. Dade, I'll call him honorary, helped out and really did well, saving three patients' lives who had experienced brutal injuries from these machine guns. And you guys were offered to trade items and different. You got some goods, got some rations, got some water. And I know J.F. Dade traded over his M4 for an AKM, we're calling it. We said AK-47 on air. I think technically in the game, it's an AKM. Looks like this. Mm-hmm. And he's now got a weapon where the ammo on this side of Poland is a lot more populous, the 7.62 ammo. So with that, you guys headed out. But the very last thing that happened before you got back in your car and drove away is you were approached out of the woods by a dog. An injured dog who leapt out of nowhere, helped in the wolf fight, then ambled off, but has seemed to re-find you and seems to be locking eyes with Dade for some reason and comes over and stopped right next to your car. And that's where we left last time. So I feel like no skipping ahead necessary for me. I want to see what happens from this moment, and I'll leave it in your hands. I'll kick it to you, Ross, as this German Shepherd straggly, skinny, obviously somewhat starved, limps out of the woods and stops in front of you. What do you do? It's not a cat, Mary Lou. Stop using your cat prop.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't control. She can't be controlled.
It's one too many wild animals in our.
Yeah, game. For real.
But yeah, Dade will like drop to a knee and once again kind of hold out his hand gently and just try to project that calm, assertive energy that Caesar Milan talks about to coax the dog in. And we'll probably, I think, even maybe go into one of his personal rations maybe and try to get a little something for the dog to eat to try to make friends in this moment.
Yeah, I'll say that the dog is tentative at first. Also seems to be favoring, if you remember, one of its mm-hmm. four legs, and it eats the ration from your hand, maybe knocks it down to the ground, and then starts eating it from the ground.
Great. As I'm looking at it closer, as it's kind of unguarded eating, can I tell? Are we dealing with a what sort of dog is this? Is he a boy or a girl?
Let's have the gender reveal.
That's a good question.
Yeah, dog gender reveal, please. It's really important to me that this dog fits on one category of the strict gender binary to which I
adhere. Yeah.
Odd boy, even girl.
Yeah.
Odd boy. Even girl. Okay. I'm going to roll for it. Here we go.
Joe, carefully describe what we see?
Yeah. Yeah, I want great
detail. You said even girl, right?
Even girl.
Well, this is pretty fascinating. This is no BS. You might have a pretty spectacular dog here. Not only do you have a female, but I rolled boxcars, two bullets.
Whoa.
To assign gender to this thing. Wow. What a dog.
It's a show dog.
Mm-hmm. It's a show dog. Clean it up. Yeah.
Makes the best in show.
Making cash.
It is a female. It's a female dog. And during that examination, you also see dried and crusting blood on the interior of one of the legs up by where it meets the torso.
Okay. I'm like, in as much as it'll let me get close, I'm kind of looking at all that and figuring out if this is a situation where like it's been wounded, probably just needs to be cleaned and bandaged unless there's something really serious going on.
Okay. Sounds good. Actually, it does. It seems to be so preoccupied with the food that it is not fighting back or pulling away as you're gently kind of moving into the fur a little bit, moving your fingers around a little bit to see, you know, what you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. The rest of you just kind of see JF kind of gently, ever so gently prodding around with this dog. I'm like, all right, girl. All right,
I'm sort of picturing like we were getting in the truck, getting ready to go, you know, like 5 seconds from hitting the road.
Yeah, we're like honking the horn for him to hurry up.
Yeah, startling it.
Dog runs off into the woods.
I'm picturing us just like watching, you know? Like, it's probably something we should say, like, let's hit the road. But there are so few moments of like gentleness and mm-hmm. and connection that I feel like it's like this unspoken, you know, maybe Zofia looks at Hannah and is like, let's let it happen. You know, we can wait a couple
Hannah loves
minutes.
Dogs. She's 100% behind bringing a dog along. She
I think
dogs.
JF even like throws a look over his shoulder into the rearview mirror if you guys are already in there. Just kind of checking in, questioning eyes, looks up at Lime.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute. Let's take a look at JF Dade. I mean, how can you say no to those eyes?
He's a soft boy.
Can we keep him?
He's a soft boy. And I think even Delime might be like, I know it's a dumb idea, but I mean, she helped us out, didn't she?
Yeah, I think Lime, as an officer, is, I think he's torn, because morale is a delicate thing, and this is something that Dade clearly wants. Like, and yeah, since it's like we all need this sort of moment of connection and warmth, but it's another mouth to feed, and if the dog is probably going to die, so it's like any benefits that we get to morale now would be lost tenfold once that happens. But he looks at Dade's face, and he just sort of lightly taps the side of the flatbed, like, let her in.
Okay, yeah. And so, yeah, I will hop up on the flatbed and kind of give a little, like, trying to indicate that the dog is welcome to hop up, coax it up.
And she's a farm dog. Yeah, she probably I'm figuring hopping up in truck beds all the time.
I'm figuring this is a farm dog. And probably like dogs that JF grew up around. And yeah, coaxes her up. Is the leg going to let her do it?
Yeah. Yeah, she kind of hesitates for a second, but the hind legs are perfectly fine. Gets her up there, and maybe as she hits onto the truck bed, there's a little bit of a slip, you know? Mm-hmm. But then she rights herself and gets in there and immediately goes back down on her haunches and just is looking around.
Great. And you see JF kind of give you a little smile. The line's like, all right. And shut the back. And
I think at that, at the tail closing, Zofia in the driver's seat, you know, my everybody seat belts.
Yep.
I am not slowing down for the new lady. And but maybe you notice that she drives slightly more carefully, avoids a couple more potholes than normal.
Nice. Right.
Anna mentions we probably shouldn't slow down for anything. That didn't go well for us last time.
Yeah. Yeah. No more ambush.
And Dave, you can treat this dog medically too. There is
that
a
was my plan. I would, maybe not in the back of a moving truck, but I was like,
yeah.
But I was like, yeah. I'm looking at this wound, ready to treat it, clean it, dress it, whenever I can at first opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. There's a veterinarian specialty, but it just gives you a bonus.
Okay.
On animals, so
very cool. Okay, you guys pull out from Zamosh and. Where are you headed? I mean, you have control of your token on the map here. We can see your party token is the party in-vehicle token. It's on the crossroads there at Zamosh. And if you'd like, I believe you are heading west to Bilgorai, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there are like these two highways that intersect at Zamosh. And we need to decide like which fork to take. There is a fork north that goes to Lublin, and there's a fork that goes west to Bilgorai and eventually Krasnik. And so I think we're going to take that, southwest hex from here. Everybody good? I'll move the token.
Yeah, Bilgorai, because that's where the Polish prisoners are, and that's where we think Carpenter is, and we have to save Carpenter because he has yet to direct Ghosts of Mars.
That's right.
That's right. We are saving John Carpenter.
Yes.
Yes.
Who else?
Joe,
will we
if
get
it's
high
John
with
Carpenter,
and watch NBA
I'll be
basketball.
Very happy.
Noted. I'll make a note. All right. So we see you drive off down this highway to the southwest.
Mm-hmm.
You do not encounter anything on the road for a bit. Go ahead and reduce your fuel by 2 liters. Pardon me. And
it does automatically, doesn't it?
I have not been able to get it to work. There's several reasons for that that are mine. One reason is that I actually have your vehicle as a character, but the token that I have associated with it is a combat token, not a map token, travel map token. And, we'll see how we can work that out, but it's easy enough to just reduce
that's
your
okay.
fuel by two.
We'll be aware of our fuel so that we're not just taking it for granted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As you drive
now,
along.
I have to make a driving check, don't I?
Not yet. Not yet. You do need to make one every shift. It's not every hex. It's every shift. And in your truck, unless I'm getting this wrong, in your truck, you can move as many as 9 hexes a day if you're on roads. If you're on roads.
My travel speed is 9.
Yeah. And so far, the roads have been pretty good to you. You can see up ahead a bridge. Small bridge that is going over a river. When I say small, I mean narrow, not particularly, it's not a massive bridge, and it barely allowed, the traffic has to kind of thin down to get over this bridge. You're pulling.
Is it
up
one of those that's one at a time, only fits one car, one direction at a time?
Yeah, you've kind of pulled off of the main highway that goes to Lublin. Now you're going west to Bilgoraj, and the road is smaller now. The bridge is small. You're seeing it from far away. It looks like a cement bridge, cement and asphalt. It looks sturdy enough, but you're pulling up to it. What do? You just keep driving?
How open is the terrain on both sides? Can I see?
The terrain to your south, you're heading west right now. The terrain to your south, to your west, is heavily wooded. The trees come kind of right up along that river, right up to you, right up to where the road is. To the east, it's not as, to your right, not as heavily wooded by any stretch. Dotted trees and rolling hills, low hills.
I'm not going to gun it and cross. She's going to pause right before the bridge. Bridges are a great place for an ambush. A street kid would know any sort of bottleneck. Is there, on the other side of the bridge, is it open enough to see anyone approach? Or is there
you can see across the bridge. You can see for at least half a mile or so before the road starts to turn. You don't see anything right in front of you.
All right, then she'll continue on the bridge.
So you slow down, but then drive over the bridge.
Slow down, she'll stop. She'll come to a stop and pause.
All right, you stop?
Yeah, on our side.
You don't see anything. You don't hear anything. Maybe there's some chirping of birds in the woodlands to the west, to the south.
She'll look both ways.
Can I make a recon roll to see if there's I detect anything at all?
You already did. You did a passive recon roll, which means you're not looking for a specific thing. You're always kind of always looking out for danger. That's a roll that I make. Sometimes you can make it, but in either case, you can't push a passive
Understood.
Roll, and you don't notice anything.
Okay.
You don't see any imminent danger or hear anything out of the ordinary. You don't hear a motor running. You don't hear any of that kind of stuff.
Then, I pause. I stop. I look both ways before crossing the street, and then I'll go on the bridge.
And then the motor starts again, and the car's pulling away. Ross, do you have anything?
All right, I'm tense in this moment just looking at it. And I think, with especially looking at the map, I realize that I've been in this river. I tumbled into and kind of bobbed down this river. There may be a sort of dim kind of concussed memory of almost drowning in this.
We'll
river.
See it. We'll see. Yeah, that's a great moment. Where we see Dade looking out at this, and suddenly we see this. It just cuts immediately to a flashback of stayed inside of an APC with multiple other soldiers, and then hearing just screaming from the front, screaming and yelling. The car stops. I mean, why are we stopped, man? Why are we stopped? Blah, 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 you know, back and forth. Somebody opens up the back. People are piling, and then you just hear explosion, explosion, explosion. Artillery fire falling from the sky. You know, the screeching screams of shells coming overneath, over you, under you, and you are on a bridge.
Yeah.
Another bridge, not this one.
Not this one. And I think, yeah, like, I'm just like, what? No, as I'm reaching, like putting my, getting my weapon up, and then suddenly a man's torso, like, bashes into me, and both of us, like, flip backwards over the guardrail. Splash! And as I'm, like, trying to fumble with it, I realize that this torso and this man I'm holding onto is like, are you all right, Stevens? And, like, his torso just ends at his hips. And I'm like, gah! And I'm, like, blacking out and just catching flashes of foliage and water.
And then we just go right back to you in the back of this pickup truck by the edge of the bridge.
I don't see nothing. Let's keep moving. He's just kind of absentmindedly scratching the dog under the chin. You see,
all right, do you want to keep moving here? Following the road would take you to the northwest over the river. Is that your path, yeah. Sophia? Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're following the road until that hex with Bilgorai. I think we'll follow the road.
Okay. You continue to follow the road over the bridge, and nothing jumps out at you. There is no ambush. You continue to drive, and the road begins to bend around this woodland area, and you come past some woods a few kilometers later, and it appears in the... Oh, shoot. Man, I had one thing that I wanted to remember to do today, and I forgot it, which is random weather.
Oh, let's get random weather.
I wanted to use their random weather generator.
We'll use it now, Joe.
I know. Yeah. I'll use it now. I was like, just don't forget.
You didn't
oh my
forget.
Gosh. You know what
you
else
did.
Is really...
<You did.
laughs> Fair enough.
Good job.
Well done.
You know what else is so cool? They have in the player's guide, in the player's manual, they have a table for Nordic light. So if you're setting your campaign in Sweden, they let you know that, like, if you are playing in the winter, the morning is dark, the day is dusk, the evening is dark, and the night is dark. Like, it's just dark all the time. And then, you know, in the fall, it's dusk, light, dusk, dark. It's very, very interesting.
Wow. So cool.
Cool.
And you see why, you know, these Nordic countries have just beautiful social services and these societies that really take care of everybody, because if they didn't, everyone would kill themselves.
Not to mention that all through the summer, and I'm saying this now too, through the summer, Nordic light is light, 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 dusk.
Right.
It never gets dark.
Land of the midnight sun. Yeah.
Have any of you ever been above towards the Arctic Circle and seen this?
No, sir.
No, I never have.
I was on a cruise ship that went to Norway, and it was that thing of, like, dark all day. And then the sun, like, rises just over the horizon and then goes back down.
So crazy.
It's going to be a hard pass for me, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. That's so cool.
No, I would love to go there. I'm joking.
As a California girl, where it's like, if it's below 72, I'm like,
I just can't decide whether I'd rather go in the summer and do all day light or in the winter and do all day darkness. Which one would be more maddening? I can't decide.
It's so wow. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've got it flipped because I was there in the summer. It was in the sky all day, then set, and then like just rose again.
Oh,
like,
that's awesome. Yeah.
That's why it's our finest exporter of black metal.
Hell yeah!
All right, I'm going to keep this simple using their system here. Keep this very simple. So it is. I set the weather, so I'm going to set the starting weather, and today is going to be overcast. Cloudy as you're moving along, Okay. It's a spring cloudy day. Feels like it could rain at any moment, but you're not sure. Then I'm going to roll a die. The die will tell me in the next several hours if it's going to move toward clearing or more toward rain. And wow. Can I get wind chill factor?
Yeah. What's the feels like?
What's the feels like?
Yeah.
It just stays cloudy. All right, so cloudy day. You're driving ahead, and maybe it's that lack of a bright light. Perhaps that sort of, you know, the way that the overcast, and maybe there's a light fog up ahead. It seems like there's something perhaps in the road ahead, far ahead. Maybe an obstruction of some kind. It might be that the road ends even. It seems like there's a wall almost in front of the road, but it's very far away. So this is your initial first impression.
Zofia will slow, but not stop, and say, like, is there something in the road, Hannah?
I think we should pull over. We know the Soviets probably have this place garrisoned.
Tuck.
I know that's it's still miles away, but they might have outer defenses.
Yeah. Yeah. So anything Hannah says, if she says caution, caution. So yeah, Zofia will pull over.
So then I
And maybe would... maybe there's a window in the back, you know, the back of the cab to the boys.
My boys.
And, she'll pull it and go, there is something in the road.
I'm going to prop myself up on the top of the cab with the Dragunov, with the marksman's rifle, and look through the scope to see if I can get a look at it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, good idea. This is a sniper rifle, so you've got decent magnification on this, right? So, all right, so the weapon comes up, and we see Dade's eye go down and look through it, and now we see what he sees through the scope. Up ahead, you see it appears as if the asphalt of the road rises up and breaks, and you can't see really anything beyond it. Rises up what looks like to you 4 or 5 feet maybe in a rise, almost like kind of creating a wall, and then it looks like a jagged edge and you can't see the road continuing.
All right. Maybe a crater.
So it's like, yes, looks like we've got a bit of broken road up ahead. Perhaps a crater.
And it breaks line of sight too, I assume.
Breaks line of sight. You can look kind of to the left and you see this jagged ground continues to the left of the road and to the right of the road, and you don't see any soldiers. You don't see any vehicles.
Okay, I'm going to just like, I think I'd like to scout ahead. Dade, with me, please. And I want to like jump out of get into any like kind of tree line or cover like off the road. And
I just want to try to stop them for a second and say, Zofia is much better at moving quietly. Yes? Dade, do you have these skills?
I mean, I'm really trained for like infiltration or anything, if that's what you're talking about, but I can move through the woods.
The dog, she will follow you if you go.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want, I mean, if Major Lyme wants me to go, then I'll go.
Oh, no, she makes a good fair point, Miss Brzezica, if you wouldn't mind coming with me. It might be someone speaks Polish up ahead.
All right.
You can call me Zofia, Major Lyme.
All right, well.
We are
then.
Perhaps
friends.
We'll get to that point.
All right, well, Hanna, you keep an eye out, and I'll get to work on our friend here. And while they go move off, I will finally get down to the business of cleaning and dressing the dog's leg.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Spending a couple hours here with the dog while you're moving, you're it's a little bit more comfortable with you, and we see you start to work on that as Major Lyme and Zofia come off the road into some brush at the edge of a woodland area and to your south, and you start moving along it as to sneak up. Both of you give me recon rolls. Yeah, let's roll them right on the old Foundry.
Recall. Let's do it.
That way we'll see right away kind of what came through. See zero successes.
Well, I'm pushing that, baby.
By the way, we figured this out. Remember, left click and drag a box open and then let go of it, and that'll unselect the party token. So it doesn't say that you are the truck when you roll.
I'm the truck. Well, there we go.
So two fails. Now, whatchamacallit? Major Lime also rolled a natural one, and that die can't be pushed. Are you going to push the other die, Major
Lime?
I'm
not going to push it because then I would incur stress.
I'm going to
push mine.
Yeah. Okay. You will push yours, Zofia.
Oh, brutal. Oh.
Okay.
Zero successes.
Oh, this is... Okay. All right. Okay.
I'm like talking to Data. I'm like... Zofia moves so silently.
She's a ghost. And she is normally, but she's a city girl. And so I think in the woods, I think she's trying to, you know, prove to Major Lime that she, you know, she may not be a soldier, but she's got skills. But he might notice that she's like watching his footsteps and watching how he steps in the wooded area, and quickly maybe learning on the job, faking till she makes it. And yeah, she's not as stealthy in a nature outdoor environment as she would be in a city or a street.
Okay. You are moving through this underbrush, and as you get towards the edge of the road, you see Lime. I think you could possibly, I think both of you actually could identify rather quickly that you are looking at, very good, Mary Lou, a crater. There seems to have been an explosion here that ripped up the road and brought all things up around it in a small area. The woods do not go right up to the road here, so you'll have to leave the cover of the woods to get any more detail, including the full width of the crater and the status of the road on the other side. Anyway, well, let's just move it forward. You guys walk up, and you already rolled your recon rolls. Mm-hmm. You're moving up. You don't see anything. You don't see any danger. And now we see you coming right to the edge of this thing. A British Royal Marine Special Forces soldier with his C8 assault. Do you have the Dragunov? Do you have the sniper rifle in your hand right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, so holding this long sniper rifle, walking up to the edge with this small, petite, malnourished Zofia, walking up, and we just see her heads kind of peek over the edge. Over the edge of this blast crater, there has been some degree of water that has collected at the bottom. It's this strange sort of greenish color, and you notice that there is a body face down in the greenish water. The back of the torso and the legs, the lower part of the torso and legs are out of the water in the crater, and the head is just partially submerged in this greenish water. And you just see like a rotting, partially exposed scalp sticking out and a assault rifle. It looks like an AK in the hand, pushed into the muck with the muzzle of the weapon in the water.
Ugh.
Whatever happened here happened quite some time ago. Seems likely that if anyone was still about, that they would have taken that weapon. Unless it's a trap, it's always possible.
This is not that enticing of a trap.
That's so good.
What kind of mouse would want this cheese?
Well, I mean, just like a gun out in the open. Like, this is every weapon is valuable. Like, so.
And Zofia's thinking the exact same thing. She's also thinking she's a gunsmith, so even though this gun is in the muck, she might be able to fix it up. So
or salvage it for parts or whatever.
Yeah. So will you cover me?
And he nods and sets up. Try to get something to. I'd love to get something to brace the Dragunov on, just to watch the area.
Okay, the area is pretty open around you. You can see pretty well. It would be unlikely for something to come out of nowhere at you right now. So okay. You feel pretty comfortable in this position.
Zofia will approach. She'll, sling her AK. I had been calling it an AK-47, but now I learn it's an AKM.
So did I. On her, yeah. Just learned.
She'll sling that on her back and approach this body. Maybe she'll pull up the neck of her turtleneck over her nose, because it probably stank, this greenish water.
Yeah, there's a strange smell to it. So you're going to sneak down in there and try to get the weapon?
Yeah, and flip this body over. I know it's going to be gross, but get a little more information about this body. Information's always good. Is this a Polish person? Is this a Soviet? Yeah.
Yeah, sounds good. Okay, so you get down in there. You reach down, and these, bloated, skin-rotted fingers are over the trigger and stuff. So you're going to pull the weapon out from those hands, right?
I think she'd rather, get a hand on if it's got a coat or a vest or a something on his back that she can grab to flip him over.
Okay. You go to flip him over. It is a man. You go to grab him and flip him over, and his face is a hideous, bloated mess of waterlogged skin that is really hard to look at. It's the kind of thing, if this was on HBO, they'd flip it over, you'd see it for a second, and then they'd cut away, mm-hmm. And you'd be like, tell me when it's over. Mm-hmm. Really nasty scene. Please give me an empathy roll.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Do you want to fail this?
You want to fail this.
Oh, good, because her empathy is low.
Yep, fits the character.
Congratulations.
Okay, there you go.
Congratulations, you're a monster.
On a success. on a success, you would have... Oh, my God, you're a single D6. So you have to get a 6 on a D6 to succeed at an empathy roll.
She's hard.
Yeah, it's tough living. You do not take, if you want a success, you would have taken stress. You would have taken a point of stress. But this doesn't really bother Zofia for whatever reason.
I think she knew what to expect, right? Mm-hmm. And so she was like, I'm not even going to look. She's very disciplined. If she had seen that horrible face, she might have felt something, but she knew not to look.
Do you remember if Zofia lost empathy over the course of her career during character creation, or if she just started with a D?
I do remember she started with it low. I never gave her any, and she never lost any. Oh, I did reduce it. Yeah. Oh, you're right. Oh. Okay, so she did lose it, but I might have reduced it right at the beginning.
Not for aging effects. Not for aging effects. I think you chose to lower it to boost something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I motivated that because of as she was a street kid. Yeah. And so empathy is not super helpful.
Okay.
When you have to fight to survive. So she doesn't even look at his face. She might see it out of the corner of her eye and be like, that's horrible, but not look at it. She's looking at his body, clothing, tools, anything, clues, anything that she can loot and salvage, and then this gun.
The soaking wet mass of his
vest, and he just has kind of a regular shirt on and a vest over it. There's several pockets. It does not appear to be military in nature, could be considered paramilitary, maybe, and it definitely seems civilian. So are you going to go digging through pockets and
Absolutely.
Into the clothes? Okay.
100%.
So upon digging, you find a wallet with identification inside of it. It's a normal driver's license. This person's name is Boris Stavicki. If that means anything to you. It's just a picture of a man with a beard and just staring at the camera.
Polish ID.
Polish ID. And there's some cash in the wallet. I'm not sure what...
That's useless.
I can't remember the Polish currency, but there's some Polish currency in the wallet. And while you are searching, leaving no stone unturned, you see... About halfway up the forearm, there is a tattoo of
a sewing needle.
A sewing needle.
Oh.
And.
Well, Zofia probably just notes it, but Mary Lou notes it. But she didn't. You guys didn't tell us, right? About that tattoo. So.
Yeah, I mean, Zofia doesn't just note it.
Does she know something?
Exactly what it is.
Ooh.
And we'll find out right after this break.
Ooh, you're back.
Cut to commercial.
Ooh.
We'll be back in a second. We'll find out what it means.
Hi, we're Meg Bashwiner.
And Joseph Fink.
Of Welcome to Night Vale. And on our new show, The Best Worst, we explore the golden age of television.
To do that, we're watching the IMDb viewer-rated best and worst episodes of classic TV shows.
The episode of Star Trek, where Beverly Crusher has sex with a ghost. The episode of The X-Files, where Scully gets attacked by a vicious house cat.
And also the really good episodes, too.
What can we learn from the best and worst of great television? Like, for example, is it really a bad episode, or do people just hate women?
The Best Worst, available wherever you get your podcasts.
There are vampires out there. They're beside you in the darkness, but what people don't understand is that they're not monsters. They're just going to work, living their unlives. But we are a dying breed. Those who came before me, they are fearful and are not content to sit back and just disappear. And they'll do anything to fix that. From the creators of Parkdale Haunt comes Woodbine, a podcast about monsters, dreams, and changes. Those you want, and those you never saw coming. Season 2 arrives September 24th, distributed by Realm.
I'm Ann Foster, and I have never watched the show Spartacus, Blood, and Sand.
And I'm Gina Barry, and I've watched this show numerous times.
On our new podcast, Nefer TV, we discuss TV shows and movies set in ancient history. This season, we are discussing Spartacus, Blood, and Sand.
Follow Nefer TV, that's N-E-F-E-R TV, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back. Welcome back in to our Twilight 2000 game. Remember, this is not the only thing we got going on over at the Glass Cannon Network. Tons of shows, tons of games, tons of different players. Check out glasscannonnetwork.com for more info. And if you want an ad-free version, go to jointhenation.com and you can find out how to subscribe and get an ad-free version of this show. All right, let's go back to the tattoo. The tattoo. Well, actually, we learned a couple things since the break. It's one of the reasons I love commercial breaks. They help us to look things up. So first, the Polish currency is the złoty.
Złota.
So you find some złota in this wallet. Also, McDermott let me know that the driving roles that we were talking about need to happen at the beginning of the shift. Of each shift that you start driving, though their effects, if they're negative, may occur later in the shift at a time that the referee decides.
So I was right, in a way. In a wrong way,
I think we were all right. I think we were all right.
Yes.
The kids are all right.
All right, yeah. So let's, we're going to do that driving roll in a minute.
Because we're on a road.
You get a plus three because we're on a road. But you want to do it right now? Is that what you sure. Looks like you're ready to go. You're like holding that mouse, looking at the screen.
I'm ready.
Let's get a retroactive driving roll to just see if there's anything funky going on with your car. But it's a plus three modifier. You got two D12s probably coming. It's a fail.
Okay, well, I'm pushing it.
Of course you're pushing it. Oh my gosh, a D12 and a D10. Oh no!
Oh no.
Not only is it a fail, but you rolled a natural one on the D12, which means you reduce the reliability rating of your car by one.
Oh, we hurt the car.
You hurt the car. But not yet.
I didn't
But not yet,
to.
But maybe we should just drive over the crater.
Yeah. Let's try to jump it.
Try to jump it.
Like
bro.
Lee, just like jump over
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Let's ollie the crater.
Yeah! Jump it!
Does Foundry VTT give an option for replace dice? Because yeah. Dice aren't doing very well today.
Yeah, I don't like that.
You guys have
that.
Been abnormally slow today on the successes. I don't think we've rolled a success yet today.
No.
This has been tricky. Okay. So you, we'll deal with that in a minute, but I would like you to go into your car character sheet and reduce its reliability rating by one, please.
I did.
And then let's return to Zofia's face as she looks down and she sees the tattoo of this sewing needle on the inner forearm of this guy who was found face down in the muck inside of a crater on the way to Bilgorai. You recognize this symbol immediately. I'm not going to make too many assumptions about your relationship with this. I think Zofia can say, you can kind of figure it out on the fly or improv it however you want. However, this tattoo is a very important and very dangerous mark. It is the mark given to lifelong members of the Solinsky Zespo, which is a notorious crime family in Eastern Poland.
Oh, shit. Huh.
So the Solinsky Zespo, which is basically the Solinsky group, sort of, a rough translation of it.
The family.
It's a crime family that you are aware of that is an underground organization that deals in, cocaine, heroin, amphetamines, car theft, kidnapping, extortion, like all of the biggest and worst stuff, weapon trafficking, murder, right? So I don't know if Zofia ever had to deal with them, ever had to do a job for them, or tried to avoid them. I'm not sure what your relationship might have been, but you were kind of an underworld person for a bit. You were a known criminal. You never got nabbed, never got pinched, as they say. But you were in that world, and that's why Zofia is aware of this mark. You don't really get this mark just for joining. You get it when you are an important member.
You're a made guy.
You're a made guy, exactly. And so this might not even surprise you that much that you see it on someone here. You know that these people operate here. It certainly wouldn't be a surprise to find somebody armed, but you know that's what that tattoo means.
So the other person who had the tattoo was the woman that Dade shot off her fingers?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you shot off her brain?
And I...
Yeah. You shot off her brain.
I shot off her brain.
Yeah. Yeah, I think seeing that tattoo... I think seeing that tattoo is more emotionally effective to her than his, bloated face. I think she was more of a freelancer in her time in the crime world. She was kind of an orphan situation.
Do you think
not
you're about to run in with them at all?
I think she worked with them. I think she absolutely did jobs for them. I think she probably, sold them things, moved things for them. But I do think that I think she was always very cordial with them because they have money and a lot of power. But I do think that she, in her mind, was like, avoid. Because the name and the family, while it does give you power and security, it also brings the heat, right? And she never wanted to get nabbed. So she she was like a I work alone type gal. And so seeing that tattoo, probably like spike of cortisol, a little bit of like whoosh. And then she remembers like that life is gone. It's not like they don't exist. It's not like they no longer have power, but that was a different world. They can't get her just for seeing this or looting his body. She won't be in trouble for that. But, whew, yeah, I think she'll pause a second at that and then continue looting his pockets and then take that gun.
Okay. You find nothing else of value except the weapon, which does have... let's roll for it. Which does have, on brief examination, 6 rounds in the magazine.
Is it an AKM?
It is an AKM. It is non-functional and broken.
Mm-hmm.
You believe with some time you could repair it. Or, as Skid previously suggested, you could break it down and turn it into one gun part that you could use for another weapon repair at some point. But you could also attempt to just repair this weapon. So
she'll take it, sling it on her back, and trudge back to Major Lime. And when she gets back to him, she'll take that cash and hand it to him and say, souvenir.
Give a nod. And she's like, I wonder, do we have a way to signal the two in the truck to have them come up and meet us? Or should we just go back?
Yeah, you can just wave them forward.
I want to just wave them forward. So we can.
Does the truck start?
Back in the truck, Dade is just like, we had a dog named Mustard and a dog named Pepper. So, what would that be in Polish, I ask you?
Hanna will tell him what those words are in Polish, and then she will talk about her family's dogs. On the estate, they had a kennel.
Right. You were like wealthy.
You had a whole kennel.
Like hunting dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. And I think he's patching him up. And this is only because Ross has done some kind of poking around and found she's a little, you see how she ran out of the woods and just went for those wolves? She's a little wild. She's a little crazy. What would you call like a crazy lady in Polish?
What?
What the fuck? Oh my god, I could so picture Hanna too with like the baseball hat and like the automatic weapon around her.
What are you asking me? Like a wild woman. What would you call that?
We're not calling the dog wild woman. That's no.
All right.
Okay, they're waving at us. We name dog later. And she she'll drive up to the other two. Is there a way around this crater? Can you drive around it?
Yes, yep. You've scouted out a path to get around the crater, and that's something that you can do. We made your... So I assume you're going to continue on here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead and give me a D12 roll, Mary Lou. Just a straight D12 roll. So I don't know if you have one on hand. I don't.
Sure, I do.
Yeah. Just give me a D12 roll. I just need the number. This is the driving mishaps table.
Oh. 8.
8. Okay. Interesting. Okay. Oh, this is neat. I think that this kind of fit in. So this was just to lift the curtain a little bit, this little scenario here was a random event that you came across. This what you have rolled randomly on this driving mishap is a roadblock that it's blocked for some reason, and you must choose a different hex to move into or spend time working your way around the roadblock. A full shift. Oh. So basically what we can say is we can melt it into this one and say
that's what happened.
That maybe the road is really rocky around it and you have to go a full hex around to get around this thing properly. So it just basically means going one hex to the northwest and then you can come back south. But it will mean a new driving roll because it's another shift.
And it's off road.
And it's off road. Right.
Okay.
All right. So you guys continue on. You drive off road. You have to divert your attention a little bit for a while to work your way around this crater. And yeah, I'll just say that it's the crater wasn't that large, but I'll say that there was it was a very rocky region right around it, we could say, and then woods on the other side. And the only way around it was taking a long way around. Okay, as a result, you reduce the reliability rating of your car by one, which you should have already done, right? So we're good on that. You don't need to reduce it again.
Yep.
And you, I need another driving roll. And this one is not at plus three because you're off-roading and it's a new shift.
Oh, God. Was so close.
Oh, my gosh. Another fail. All right, go ahead and push. This is great.
Oh, okay. Got a success. All right,
there got a success.
One success.
Okay. So no further damage to the vehicle. You're moving just fine. And as you go around to the off-road. All right. Just want to be clear to everybody. Like, this is what's so awesome about this, but it's also difficult, too. It's like, it's all kind of random stuff that occurs, and you got to kind of bob and weave with it. I've got none of this planned, so we're kind of figuring it out as we go. Zofia.
Yeah.
You are about to find your way back to the road. Why don't you move one hex south for me? Now, you need to consume more fuel. Is that right, when you're off-road?
Yes.
I think it's doubled, right? So I think that you consume four in that one hex and then another four getting back to the road. So
it was
fuel is 82. Running down. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was, so four getting to that hex and then four getting to... Woof.
Yeah, because just because that road is an east-west road, and you're coming from the north, so to get back in there,
all right,
you're gonna have to be off-roading again.
We're still okay. We're at 78 out of 99.
Oh yeah,
I'm a little curious about the game and the map. Are we to assume that that's a wilderness area? I mean, it feels like if you were in the United States or something, maybe those areas would be populated by small communities or kind of country roads or something like that.
No hex that does not have a road has a road for the purposes of the travel rules.
Okay.
We are to assume that it is open farmland, essentially.
Okay.
Kind of rolling hills and stuff. Even if they were dirt roads, which they probably actually are, that is still dangerous to the car. So, and takes more chug-a-lug to get the car moving. Mm-hmm. So in order to simplify things, we just use the major roads are the only ones that give you benefits. Everything else is you didn't take a penalty. You just don't get a benefit. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Zofia.
Yeah.
I need you to make a, stamina roll.
Okay.
Modified by your current permanent rads.
Ooh.
So what are your current permanent rads? Should be at the bottom of one of those tabs on your character sheet.
Yep. I was going to ask about this. Sticking your hands down in the radiated crater.
Uh-huh, yeah. Oh,
I know. To get a broken AKM. Poison water. Yeah.
I didn't think about that. My permanent rads are three.
Okay. So I need you to make a stamina roll at a plus one bonus.
Okay.
Your body is fighting off a rat attack, which has occurred. And
And this can't be pushed, right?
I was looking for that skid and I couldn't see it, but I felt like I read that before. I feel like it cannot be pushed. I think you're right. But regardless, she succeeded.
She got it, yeah.
She got it. Okay. So you add a temporary rad to your character sheet. Okay.
Okay.
And now we have to remember, try to remember this, because I might forget with all the bookkeeping, but
yeah.
The next time you rest, you will automatically lose that temporary rad.
Okay.
You have to make another stamina roll, I believe.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, no. One rad will leave your body every day. If you wash your body in clean water, half your rads go away immediately. Oh, wait. You only get this effect once. Every time you're about to lose a rad, roll a d6. If you roll a 1, it becomes a permanent rad.
Oh.
So, what you just rolled on is radiation sickness, and you avoided that. Good. Your radiation sickness roll starts to get penalized the more permanent rads you have. So the more exposure you have over time, you're going to be less able to fight against not mm-hmm. only radiation sickness, but all other sicknesses too. And there's a bunch of them. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were you trying to give us a clue with the greenish water?
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think Sophia would know that. So I think she just saw that greenish water and was like, yeah. Muddy, muddy.
And with
water.
You succeeding at that roll, I'm going to say you don't feel any effects. You have no symptoms of this. You don't have radiation sickness. You've just been exposed to some radiation. So you've got one temporary rad. Let's remember to get rid of that on a rest.
Got it.
But you have gone out of your way a little bit on this shift. You are successful in your driving check. You're back on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you can.
I think while
continue.
I was on the road, though, while we were driving, just to make some conversation, she would say, Hanya, have you ever worked with the Zelensky family?
Oh, right. Interesting.
Zelensky? Yeah, we had dealings with them.
That body in the crater had a. And this is all in Polish. Had a sewing needle tattoo, which is the mark of the Zelensky crime family. It is like a ghost of a past life. I assume they are still powerful even in these times. They had access to guns and drugs, and people will always want these things.
They are in the resistance now.
Are they?
Well, we all are, right?
Solidarnosht.
And I think I'm going to say, did you touch the body?
I went through his clothes. I took his gun. I did not touch his skin, no.
I'm going to slow way down. Oh, you're driving. I want to say, you have to be careful. There's a lot of sickness around from the bombs. Don't go touching everything.
I am sorry, Hanya. This did not occur to me.
We need you. You can't be stupid.
You're right. I'm sorry. I did not think of the enemy that I cannot see. Thank you, Anya. I will be more careful. I promise.
There are lots of ways to die now. Not just bullets.
Back. Thank you.
And you can continue into the Bilgorai Hex.
Here we go.
Continuing to the southwest, please reduce another 2 liters of fuel.
Yeah. So we know from our reconnaissance with the people in Zamość that they have labor camps in the forests outside Bilgorai for mm-hmm. lumber to Lublin. So I think we're pretty much on high alert even
Absolutely.
Outside Bilgorai. Mm-hmm.
That's fair. Also, let's try to get the timing right here. You lost a shift.
We lost a full shift.
Which means that it is now evening as you approach Bilgorai on the road. You are on a highway, highway-ish road, right? I said that it was smaller than the one going to Lublin, and it is. However,
It's definitely not. It's not like a main road.
It's not a country road, though, either.
It's not a country road, but it's an...
It might be a two-lane highway, you know?
Something like that.
Yeah, like a winding little...
The point is, you're moving along, and you can see the street signs that are giving you the countdown in kilometers to when Bilgorai is approaching. And now you see that there is a turnoff for Bilgorai, which is to the south of the road that you're on right now. Are you running your headlights as dusk turns to evening?
I think we should stop and rest and make camp.
Yeah, make a camp. That seems like the wise thing to do, especially if they got folks out in the woods. I mean, we could be expecting to find a troop transport on the road any time. They could come right at us.
Yeah.
Tak. Okay. And I'll pull off and try and find maybe, a copse of trees that we can sort of shelter in off-road.
So this would be a recon roll plus 3, because I'm going to assume everybody is aiding you in this task. So you'll get recon here at AA, basically. So it'll be D12, D12. Let's see if you can find a decent place to camp.
Oh, man.
Nice. There we go. All right. Four successes.
Four successes.
Wow.
It doesn't get better than that.
We're glamping.
Booyah. Yeah.
We're glamping. Okay, I'm going to say the result of that roll. It's an incredible roll. I'll say the result of that roll is you feel very confident that you are thoroughly hidden. Mm-hmm. You also don't see any signs of anyone in the area where you are. You don't hear any vehicles, and you're still a few kilometers outside of Bilgorai, and you can lay low. Let's say you found a place, a really great slope off the road that sort of went down and into like almost a ravine, so it's like hidden from the road. Got a perfect spot. And there's a small trickle of water going by, like a small creek runs through there, and you can park and you can camp.
I'm going to suggest we take watches because we want to see, you know, the main road, if there are transports going in, if we detect any kind of activity at all, in addition to, of course, making sure no one's getting close to us or finding out that we're there. And, you know, I probably say something like, Dade and Major Lime, you can sleep in the cab. It's more comfortable.
That's all right. I'm perfectly comfortable sleeping out in the open. Don't make any special allowances for me.
It's not a special allowance. It's just, you know, it's a little cold out here.
Yeah, we'll make do, whatever. I mean, if y'all don't want it.
I'm going to take first watch.
Okay, you take first watch, rolling a die here. And the evening passes quietly. Is there anything else anyone wants to do in this shift?
I would like to wash my skin and hair, and maybe like I know it's what season is it? It's probably cold.
Spring,
right? Oh, it's spring.
Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of this creek probably wouldn't be here in the summer.
Yeah.
It's pretty full and thick. The water running past. Now, is this water okay to wash in?
Who has the highest survival? I've got a D.
I don't have it at all. I've got a decent intelligence. Yeah,
I've got an A and a D.
Let me check.
Yeah, it's probably you.
A D12 and a D6.
I think I have some. I have a C and a... I have two Cs. I have two D8s. I can check the water. Want to check the water?
I don't drink the water here.
It's no perfectly successes. Safe. Dive in.
Dive in. Would you like to push, Jared?
Push it.
Push
yeah.
it.
Push it real good.
I guess I'll push. Yep. Why not?
Okay.
Man. Oh, man.
Exact same wrong. Or
water,
almost.
Water seems great to you. It seems clear to you, Hana.
All right. And she'll... I think Zofia will wash. I think she was a little embarrassed that she didn't think about the rads and that she knows you have to wash that off. So she'll rinse her face and hair and hands and then take her big outer coat and boots that maybe got in the water and brush the coat with water and scrub her boots.
Okay. Anybody else? Any other activities?
I just want to ensure that I've patched up the dog. I need a roll for that?
Man. Yeah, I needed a medical aid roll from you, and I forgot. I'm sorry.
Let's do it.
Go ahead and give me that medical aid roll.
Yay.
All right.
That is a success. Yes. You know you were successful in patching up what was little more than a cut. A small laceration that bled pretty healthily but was not deep, and you were able to bandage it and clean it. And
great.
And the dog let you do that. And so you did that and bandaged it, and you feel like the dog's going to be in good shape within a few days.
All right, there you go. And then he's just looking at her in the eye. What's your name? What's your name? Hmm? What do they call you?
That was what I was going to ask. What is her name?
I don't know.
As she's like brushing her boots.
I talked to Hannah about it. She didn't really, wasn't too, she was, not, apparently she got all kinds of dogs back home, but.
I'm going to walk up. It's the end of, you know, I'm about to take watch or something, and I'm going to say, you said you want to call her Crazy Lady. She's not a good name.
Crazy Lady.
Maybe Lady.
Yeah, it was.
Dama.
Dama? Just Dama?
It means lady.
All right. Well, hey. All right.
She's
just
not
out
crazy.
Of curiosity, what would that be? And I just know from my Googling it's Shalona is Mad Woman.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Oh. Bye, Shalona. That's awesome.
Bye, Shalona.
All right. Shalona. All right. Okay.
So wait, like, what's the name?
Shalona.
Is it Shalona or Dama?
It could be like? Shalona.
I mean, it's I not, like Shalona. Not up to me. Jared thinks Shalona or Crazy Woman is great. Hana is like, this is not a good name for a dog. Because
I even looked it up, and apparently this is, I guess this is a name that occasionally is used as a dog's name.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's like a cool. common dog. That's funny.
I don't know if common, Shalom. You know, I go to one message board.
Okay,
but like,
sure.
But I just love the way it sounds, and I love the, in Dade's eyes, like, it's like, it's not like, ooh, dangerous. It's like, oh, she's a little wild.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's a translation thing happening here. Like it's not crazy lady. It's right. Wild woman.
And I think right? that's what I was going for. She's a wild woman. What would that be? What would that be? And you say, I don't know, Shalona. I don't know if that's a good name for a dog.
Wildcat.
I was like, wildcat. Wow, Shalona. Yeah. Shalona.
A little spitfire.
You're a little spitfire. You're a little pistol. And you're a little pistol, aren't you? Shalona. He's like scratching her on the snout. And
perhaps some days she is Dama and some days she is Shalona.
Anyway, hey, ain't it that way for all of us? You wash yourself up?
I did.
I saw you looking a little soggy coming back. You gotta be careful.
Right, I touched a body earlier, and Hanya reminded me.
Yeah. Yes, we all got to be careful. We're going to be looking more and more like that fellow back in Tomaszewski.
right? You are a doctor?
No. A medic. But I went to school for a little while, but I had to leave.
You know much. You help people. You're good.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing, isn't it? Do no harm. Yeah.
I guess
you can do nowadays. When you can't understand a damn word half the people say, and you don't even know what's in the air you're breathing. Yeah.
Well, I cannot help you with the air, but would you like to learn Polish?
Oh, shoot. I'm not good with languages, but if you can tell me, like, look, if you can tell me how to say please and thank you, stop, I'm sorry, and a few cusses, then then I'll be in good shape.
I can do that. Cusses first. Most useful. And she'll teach you a couple curse words. And then, you might notice she, like, clams up a little, and she's like, I must sleep. I need my strength. And she'll go off to rest.
Okay.
Not tonight, but I just want to make it known that every day, in contrast to probably most of the men that we'll run into, he makes a point of shaving. He has a little grooming kit with a straight razor, and he shaves like every day if he possibly can.
Yeah.
So he's clean shaven. That's just, so in the morning, wake up incredibly early, and that's the first thing he does.
Cool. You said that when he was first introduced. You said that, you know, you'd probably see most men are not shaven around here, but he is clean shaven. All right, very cool. All right, everybody, reduce your food rations by one, your water rations by one. So I think, are we holding that in a group thing now in the truck?
Yeah.
I believe they're all in the truck.
It's all in the truck now.
All right, if it's all in the truck, then go ahead and reduce it, Mary Lou, by four each. Oof. Four food, four water.
Okay.
Each per person, right?
Well, no, one per person.
Total.
One food, one water per person. Yeah.
Right.
We now have five food rations.
So that's just one more
day. One more day.
And five water rations. We got one more day.
Oh my God. Okay.
That's okay. Because once we rescue these prisoners, there's going to be food and water in this Soviet labor camp.
Right. Yeah. Right. There's tons. It's like a virtual banquet at those right. labor camps.
Exactly.
They're going to have granola bars. We've got a source of clean water right here, so Zosia says. So we can probably fill up our bottles with that.
Let's gorge ourselves on clean, clear water.
Boil it.
So I rolled my D6, and I did not roll a 1. So
okay, so the temporary rad has left your body and does not turn into a permanent rad. You having trouble there, Mary Lou?
Yes. If you click on it, it just adds one.
Right click on it, and they'll go away, I believe.
Well, that
double
that worked.
Kind of. Yep, you got it.
There you go.
Thank
left
you.
Click to add, right click to remove.
Got it.
Okay, that rad leaves your body, and thank God. My goodness. It gets so bad.
Unless I just bathed in radiation. Let me know.
I'll let you know in one shift. That's the incubation period. So.
Oh, cool.
It's nuclear power plant runoff.
Awesome. Yeah, when the sun rises, you see the towers of a nuclear power plant right down the road.
What the hell is this three-eyed fish doing?
Yeah, nuclear power plant, DuPont plant, all next to each other. Damn it.
Okay, you wake up the next morning and we've got a roll, obviously, for whether... Oh, my God.
Stop.
I rolled a 1.
Oh, no.
Roll the
Blizzard.
One. Blizzard.
Blizzard.
The dice have been unkind.
Yeah.
In the early morning, as you rise, we open up on, it's not, the sun doesn't rise, you know, clear. It's through clouds. And now the clouds are even darker. And so maybe in this like dusky morning light, we see Lime shaving, maybe just like by the creek side. And we start to see in the water drip, 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 drip. And then it begins to rain. It's not too heavy yet, but it's enough to be noticeable, maybe a little uncomfortable. All right. Tell me, what do you guys do? What's the plan?
So we have
Can we see the town from where we are? We have a sense of where it is.
You do not see the town, but you believe it's because you're no, I wouldn't say that. I would say you can't see the town, but you're on the road to the town, and you should be able to see it very shortly. Right now, you're down in a ravine that is hidden from the road, so you got to kind of like drive up this dirt road back to the road, and maybe within minutes, you'd be able to see some semblance of the town, but you're still pretty decent way outside of it.
Well, this is, we think this is a town occupied by the Soviets. I think it might be best to just leave the car and go searching for this place on foot, since we know it's in this hex, so.
Agreed.
Yeah.
That's a cool idea. That's a cool idea. All right. If you refer to your map, I'm going to remove your vehicle and replace it with the party on foot. Okay, the party is on foot now in Bilgorai, and you hike up out of this small ravine. You feel like your truck is very hidden.
Do you tell Shalona to stay?
I don't know will she listen? I think in Dave's mind,
you stay in Polish.
Yeah. Well, you stay here. And she kind of wags her tail and follows me. But maybe. I don't know.
Bring think Dade, dog. In a way, why is like, not? The dog attacks people.
Yeah, exactly. Let's hope.
Bring the dog.
There's no way to keep her from following us if she wants to.
She wants to.
Great. And I'm not tying her up.
I want to try to find a happy medium here. I want to have an open dialogue about the dog, about Shalona. Mm-hmm. I don't want to purely control Shalona as an NPC. I feel like she is a PC now.
Great.
And so, but at times I may need to surprise you a little bit, and we both need to figure out her personality early on. And so I'd say she will not be left alone.
Great.
Right now.
And if she's like dogging my steps, that's great.
You can kind of say what she does as well.
Okay.
You don't have to wait for me to always say what she does.
Then yeah, I tell her stay. And as we walk away, I turn around and she's following me. And
Hannah looks at you and says, this is because you called dog wild woman. She's not going to listen to anything but
she's
you
not
say.
Going to listen to, nothing I can do about it.
You have to give dogs names that, you know, give good qualities.
Look, I don't know. I don't know what things are like in your show dog kennel, but this one here is from the streets. I couldn't train her if I tried.
Okay, so how are we sort of reconnoitering around town?
Okay. I'll give you a brief reconnoiter. Give me a recon roll at +3. So whoever does it will have a +3. As you guys try to get a sense of like, what is this area like? What's going on here in general? And then we can kind of get into some specifics. Okay, succeeded. The party succeeded. And through what you're able to gather by walking on foot, we see you creeping along the road, then off the road, then into some woods, then out of some woods, and we see you approach the town. Approaching the town, you see it's a rather small town. You see that there are the main feature that jumps out to you is a series of long, what look like long, not very tall factory buildings. this sort of like jumps out at you as probably the working center of this town, and maybe that this town's main sort of operation, some sort of textiles manufacturing, something like that, because you're seeing multiple kind of like very plain, almost featureless, rectangular, long buildings. Okay,
there is actually a thriving furniture manufacturing business in Byogurai.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah,
there you go. Great. This is based on, you know, some of my basic knowledge of the town through the old guide, is that it is a town that houses a lot of light industry. And so you see a few of these factory buildings. You get the best way I can describe it is a Last of Us sense from outside the town. You don't see anything. You don't see people, you don't see cars, you don't see trucks. You do not see a Soviet occupying force. You don't see anything, really. Also, as part of your reconnoiter, we can say that south of the town, in the woods, you can hear echoing noise coming over a large area, and that noise that you hear sounds like a combination of voices, loud thumps, and sometimes motors, engines of some kind. You hear stuff in the woods. Seems like there isn't much in the town right now. Seems like there's stuff going on in the woods. You can explore the town. You can go closer to the noise in the woods. These are your options.
Those noises, they're coming from the camp.
I mean, it's got to be. Well, if they left a skeleton crew around the town, maybe we could scrounge around so we're not one meal away from starving.
Yeah, we could scavenge for supplies first, but we are leaving an enemy to our south who could wander in and attack us at any moment.
I would caution you against any optimism finding much useful in the town. It's been occupied by the Soviets and probably more picked over than a Brooklyn Target.
Wow. Right. You probably have to find somebody to unlock the little case for you if you want.
That's right. That's
one thing of deodorant.
Even for
a huge pain in the ass.
Not of the times, I guess.
Pain in the ass.
Well, all right. If you think it's best. Wishful thinking, I guess.
I think we'd like to, at least Hana would like to creep up, you know, toward where the sounds are coming
deeper
from.
Deeper into the woods to the south?
Yeah.
Agreed.
Is that what we do? Okay. We see you all silently creeping through the woods. It's raining, and there is something calming about the drips of rain that are sort of covering your footsteps in a way, at least the sound of your footsteps. There is a layer of brown leaves across everything, a wet brown leaves that is left from the previous fall and winter. And just now the trees are a very light green color as everything is blooming and starting to come back. It's providing some cover, but not quite the density that you would get in summer. You're moving around and through, and the sounds start getting louder. You hear the sounds of men. You hear the sounds of shouting. You hear the sounds of talking, calling. And every once in a while, that, you know, that classic sound of the crack, 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 crack of a tree cracking, snapping, hitting the ground. As you approach closer, you see structures of some kind, tents, large tents in the distance, far away, and immediately know that you are in visual sight of this place. I picture you guys hiding, hunkering down, watching from a distance. From a distance, you see multiple large, long, military green, temporary, semi-permanent, I should say, tents. These look like semi-permanent barracks in terms of their size. They are very long, right? It looks like you could sleep 20 people inside one of them, if not more. So these are long, rectangular tents. You see at least four or five of them as well set up, and you see dozens and dozens of men moving through the woods. They are sawing and cutting trees in the early morning light. Multiple crews are kind of like cutting things down. You see people calling to each other, talking to each other. You see multiple trucks. This Gaz 66, man, baby. You know the Gaz 66, best truck out there. You see, instead of the canvas-covered bed that you saw previously that those soldiers were deserting in, you see an open flat bed with these sort of like rope implements that are being used to like pull logs up and into the backs of these trucks. Around all this labor and work that seems to be going on, you see occasional Soviet garbed soldiers walking through and among, armed with AKMs, patrolling, walking around the outsides, walking kind of towards the insides, and a mass of civilians just sort of like doing this work. You see, at one point, you see a man sort of laying down, you know, like sitting down, pulling a hat cap off of his head, wiping the sweat off of his head, and, you know, huffing and puffing a little bit. You see another man walk up to him, looks like a civilian, walk up to him, starts yelling at him. Maybe their voice kind of echoing across in Polish, yelling at him. You're picking up vague pieces of it. Get back up. Get back to work. You know, we have to hit our quota before the end of the day, that kind of stuff. Brief complaints, getting back up, getting back to the work. Off to the side, you see another one of these guys seems to be just like pointing and directing, telling people to do stuff. Soviet soldier walks by him. They exchange some conversation. Soviet soldier nods and keeps walking. Lots of different things going on here. Lime, give me a recon roll.
Recon. Oh, yeah.
There we go. Two successes, 10 on the D12. Okay, two successes. That's nice. That's nice. With two successes, I'll say. Nice. And actually, no, you guys did a bit of reconnoitering, so I would say hours have passed. It's not the early morning. It's getting into kind of like late morning now. And that's why these crews are up and kind of fully working. You see one of the trucks is almost loaded. It's got maybe half a dozen logs on it. It's almost done being loaded. And Lime, maybe you're looking through the Dragunov scope across all of this. At one point, you see a Soviet soldier is just smoking a cigarette kind of outside of one of the tents, blowing it, and then he does like a double take, looks back towards this tent, and then like quickly, you know, puts out the cigarette, stamps it out, and walking out of the tent behind him is a Soviet soldier holding a rifle. So far, you've seen about half a dozen soldiers. One walks out of the tent, and then right behind him, you see a tall, muscular man. Shaggy hair, long beard developing, his hands tied in front of him, and you recognize the face of Carpenter.
Oh.
He's being walked, escorted across a small distance.
So I know what he looks like.
You know what he looks like. You were given this information, except when you saw him, he was clean shaven, clean cut photograph that you received from the intelligence service. This is now, you know, haggard, days and days, weeks, if not of facial hair. But you know, I mean, he stands out from everybody else.
Okay.
He's being walked along behind this soldier to what looks like a setup of porta potties. It's like a setup of bathrooms, essentially. And he opens up a door, gets in. The soldier just kind of stands outside of it, talks back, says something to the other one so far away you can't hear. They're talking, waiting. And he comes back out, is walked back into one of these tents, and the soldier walks in with him. And that's where we're going to stop for today. As you get a scene of this whole setup, a very large labor camp, lots of tents, lots of people, some soldiers, and a very interesting prisoner in the mix of all of them. We got to go, though. We're out of time. Yeah. We'll pick it up. We'll pick it up there next time.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Skid goes, okay. Yeah. He's shaking his head, audience.
We only counted six soldiers. We can take them, guys.
We got it.
We can take them.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine, and now I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.